The Perek has been going through the different kinds of korbanos and when exactly Me'ilah applies to them, and with regard to the Kodshei Kodshim, which are the high level korbanos, which are totally given over to Hashem, the one who is bringing the korban does not get any of the meat of the korban to eat, rather some of the meat in certain occasions is given over to the Kohanim, but even then it's considered to be that they're receiving it from Hashem. But until the process of the korban has been completed, and the Kohanim have not yet merited to receive the meat, it's considered to be totally Hashem's, and therefore Me'ilah would apply to somebody who benefits from it. Hamenachos korbanos mincha, which means it's a korban of flour, merlin bohem shehukdushu, Me'ilah would apply to them as soon as the flour has been designated for that purpose. Kodesh bakli, as soon as the flour has been sanctified by being placed into a utensil, which is used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, that gives the flour an additional level of holiness and sanctity, such that it becomes fit to be impurified if a tevul yoim or a mechusar kippurim touches it. A tevul yoim is somebody who had been tomei, impure, and he had purified himself by going into a mikveh, a body of water to purify himself, and he is waiting for it to get to the end of that day, but for the remainder of that day, he still retains a low level of impurity. And although it's such a low level that in general it doesn't really make a difference, if he touches something else it will not become tomei as well. When it comes to these items which now have an additional level of sanctity, they would become impure if a tevul yoim touches them. Or if a mechusar kippurim touches them, a mechusar kippurim is somebody who also has been to the mikveh, and technically speaking, the period of his impurity has come to an end, but he's still obligated to bring certain korbanos the next day, and until he does so, he still retains a very small level of impurity, which is enough to invalidate the korban, the flour, if the mechusar kippurim touches that flour. Uvalina, and the invalidation of lino would also kick in place at this point, meaning that if the flour is not going to end up being burnt on the Mizbeach that same day, then it will become invalidated. The korban has to be processed on the same day as the procedure begins. So since the first stage is putting the flour into a utensil, the final stage of the procedure, which is burning part of that flour at least on the Mizbeach, that final stage needs to be completed on the same day as the procedure bringing the korban began. Korbach koimetz. Once a handful of the flour has been burnt on the Mizbeach, that is the final stage in the procedure of bringing the Korban Mincha, this flour offering, and once the entire procedure has been completed, now, Chayovin Aleihem, one would be liable to any relevant punishments if he violates the prohibitions of Mishum Pigel, which is when somebody during the procedure of bringing the Korban had an intention to burn or eat part of the Korban beyond its time limit. That invalidates the korban, and if somebody consumes that korban, then he would be liable to kores, the severe punishment of being, so to speak, cut off from Hashem, or if he did it unintentionally, he would be liable to a korban chatos. Noisar, that refers to a valid korban, but which has passed its deadline for eating it, and it's forbidden to eat it past its deadline. V'tomei, or if an impure person eats it, the punishments for these three prohibitions would apply only if they are violated once the entire procedure of the korban has been completed. So whereas, with regards to most of the korbanos we've discussed until now, the final procedure is applying the blood from the animal onto the Mizbeach, with regards to a flour offering, obviously that's not relevant. Rather, it would be when part of the flour is burnt on the Mizbeach. Now, there are two categories of offerings of flour. One category are the types of korbanos mincha, which are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Our Mishnah is talking about the category of korbanos mincha, where only a handful of the flour needs to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and the remaining flour is given to the Kohanim to eat. So the Mishnah says that once the handful has been burnt on the Mizbeach, so the procedure of bringing the korban has been completed, at that point, the Kohanim are now able to eat the remaining part of the flour, and therefore the Eimalim Bashirayim, from this point onwards, Me'ilah would not apply to the remaining part of the flour, because that's now given over to the Kohanim. It's not totally given over to Hashem anymore. Avol Malim Bakoimetz, however, Me'ilah would continue to apply to the handful of flour, which is being burnt on the Mizbeach, because that never left Hashem, as it were, until it's taken out to the pile of ashes and totally burnt. And only at that point, once there's no longer anything left that needs to be done with the korban, would Me'ilah stop applying. Mishnah Tes. This Mishnah talks about things which are totally burnt on the Mizbeach. HaKoimetz, the handful of flour taken from an offering of flour, so the handful itself is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. V'halavayna, the frankincense which is offered up together with the handful of flour, that's also totally burnt on the Mizbeach. V'haketores, the incense, the mixture of spices which is offered in the Beis HaMikdosh twice a day. Umunchas koyanim, a koyin who brings a offering of flour, in that case, instead of just a handful of the flour being burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest being given to the koyanim to eat, when it comes to the flour offering of a koyin, all of the flour is burnt on the mizbeach. Umunchas koyin mashiach, the minchas chavitin, which is a offering of flour which is bought by the koyin godol every day, he brings half of it in the morning, half of it in the afternoon or the evening. Once again, all of that is burnt on the Mizbeach, Umenchas Nesochim, and the flour offering which accompanies a Korban Shalomim or a Korban Oilah. When somebody brings such a Korban, they would also bring flour, and as well as that, they would bring wine. The wine would be poured on the Mizbeach, the flour would be burnt on the Mizbeach fully. In all of these cases, since it's going to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach, obviously Me'ilah will apply, and Ma'ilah Mehem Shavuk Dushru Me'ilah will apply as soon as the flour has been designated for that purpose. Kodru Bakli, once they have gained an additional level of sanctity by being added into a utensil used in the Beis HaMikdosh, Hushru possible to Yom, that flour becomes fit to be impurified if a Tavul Yom touches it. Again, a Tavul Yom is somebody who has been to the mikveh to purify himself, but is waiting for nightfall, Uvim Chusai Kippurim, who is somebody who has also been to the mikveh, but he still needs to bring korbanos the day after his period of being impure has ended, Uvalina, and the invalidation of lino would also kick in at that point, meaning the flour would have to be burnt on that very same day, or otherwise the whole korban would become invalidated. And now, interestingly, the Mishnah says that even though the procedure of bringing the korban has not yet been completed, and in general one is only liable for committing the sins of eating pigal noisar, or an impure person eating the meat of a korban, the liability for those sins only applies once the procedure of the korban has come to an end. However, in these cases, one will be liable to the punishments given for eating noisar, which is a korban which has passed its deadline, or mishum tome, or if an impure person eats the meat of that korban. Excuse me, here we're not talking about the meat, if he eats the flour. Already from this stage, he would be liable. The second difference to the previous korbanos which we have seen is that upigal einboy, the entire punishment and invalidation of pigal does not apply to these korbanos. Although it would be invalidated if the kohen has such an invalidating intention of burning or eating part of the korban after its time limit, the punishments of kores or bringing korban chatos would not apply in these cases. And the Mishnah explains, Zeh klol, this is the rule, which is learned from Psukim, that kol sheyesh lo matirin, anything which in order to complete that procedure of offering the korban, something else needs to be done beforehand. For example, with regards to a regular korban, only once the blood of the korban, let's say, has been thrown onto the mizbeach, only then can the kohanim eat the meat, can parts of the korban be burnt on the mizbeach. So the throwing of the blood is something which needs to be done before you're able to continue the procedure of bringing the korban, or of eating the korban. In such a case, then ein chevan alav mishum pigal noisar tomei, the liability for pigal noisar and tomei would not apply adjig v'matirav until that thing which needs to be done beforehand has been performed. V'chosh eilu matirin, but anything that does not have any other process which has to be done beforehand, then, as soon as the flour, that's the example the Mishnah is talking about over here, as soon as the flour has been put into a utensil, the liability for noisar and tome would apply, because we're already at that stage where the flour can be burnt. We're not waiting for a procedure to be done beforehand to allow that to happen. Upigal einboy, and any liability of pigal will not apply if somebody has an intention to eat or burn part of the korban beyond its time limit for doing so. Although he can't do that, and it might even invalidate the korban, but the punishments of kores or bringing a korban chatos would not apply to this kind of korban that doesn't have any other procedure which needs to be done to allow that to be performed. This is learned from Psukim, and we learned in Maseches Avochim many more details about this concept. Perigul Mishnah Aleph. The following Mishnah comes up in Maseches Temura as well, and it discusses a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, a tradition that we have going back from Moshe, which he received at Har Sinai. But there are five kinds of korban chatos that are not able to be offered up as the korban chatos itself, because since the korban is coming to atone for a sin, if for whatever reason that animal is not needed to atone for the sin, then instead of the regular law that would apply, that we need to allow the korban to develop a blemish, and then it would become invalidated, at which point the animal would be sold, it would be redeemed, and we would buy a new korban with that money. The halacha l'Moshe Mesinai states that instead of doing that, the animal needs to be left to die. Says the Mishnah, the first type is vlad chatos, the child which is born from a female animal which has been designated as a korban chatos. Since it's the child of a korban chatos, it automatically has that same level of holiness and sanctity, so it's considered to be a korban chatos itself. However, since in order to atone for his sin, only one animal needs to be offered up as his korban, so the child would be left to die. Temura chatos, the temura of a korban chatos. Temura is when somebody says that I want this animal to be instead of a different animal that I already designated to be used as a korban. So the law of Temura states that the new animal would indeed gain the holiness and sanctity of that other animal, but it would not replace it, so you'd emerge with both animals having that level of sanctity. Now, it's forbidden to do this Temura, and therefore, since the second animal became holy as a result of an Aveira, a sin, essentially, that cannot be bought as a korban to atone for somebody, because its whole sanctity came as a result of a sin. The chatos shemesu bo'aleha, and a korban chatos whose owner, who was supposed to bring that animal as a korban to atone for a sin, the owner died. Once he's died, it's not relevant to bring an atonement for him, and therefore in these three cases, yomusu, the animal needs to be left to die. The fourth case is she'ovra shenosa, if the animal which had been designated as a korban chatos passed its year, it's now older than 1 year old, it can therefore not be bought as a korban chatos. However, it still has that level of holiness and sanctity because it was designated for that purpose. So the halacha l'Moshe Mesinai states that that animal needs to be left to die. The she'ovda, we're going to understand that this word, the Gemara explains, is going on the previous case and on the next case. She'ovda means it was lost, so if the animal is both too old to be offered as a korban and it got lost at some point, the combination of those two factors would invalidate the korban enough to make it need to be left to die. Or, v'she'ovda, we're reading this word together with the next case as well, v'she'ovda v'she'nimtzes balas mum, if the animal was lost and it was found but it had a blemish and was invalidated from being bought as a korban, a combination of these two factors would also invalidate the korban enough to make it be left to die. We discuss more details exactly of the combination in Maseches Temura, be as it may, the Mishnah says in this last case where the animal was lost and later found and it has a blemish. So if, let's say, it was lost, and meanwhile, because he lost his animal, he separated a different animal to be used as his korban. In Mishnah Kippur Abaylim, if the owner has received an atonement, meaning he offered up this other korban which he had separated after he lost his original animal, Thomas, then this original animal, which has now been found, needs to be left to die. And since it needs to be left to die, the Ein Oisa Temura, that animal itself would not have the power to create Temura. If somebody else were to come, or if the person himself were to come and say, I want to replace this animal with a different animal. Since this animal itself is not going to be offered up as a korban, it needs to be left to die. It barely has any sanctity left in it because its whole designation now is just to be left to die. And therefore it would not have the power to create Temura, meaning the other animal would not become sanctified as a result of him trying to replace it. And in addition to that, because it needs to be left to die, so it has a very low level of sanctity now, Me'ila would not apply. However, V'loinenin, it's still forbidden to benefit from it because it has a little sanctity left. That's exactly the reason why it has to be left to die. But V'loi Merlin, Me'ila would not apply to it since, at the end of the day, its sanctity now is much lower because it is not designated to be bought as a korban at the end of the day. So if you did benefit from it, Me'ila would not apply, meaning the punishment of bringing a korban, paying some extra money, that would not apply. Now what happens if the animal which he originally designated, was found, and he had not yet offered up the second animal that he had separated as a replacement. If he had not yet received an atonement from this new animal that he separated whilst the first animal was lost. And now he finds the first animal, so the first animal should be left to graze until it develops a wound and becomes invalidated, and then the simocher, it can be sold, and use its money to buy a different animal and bring that as a korban. If, let's say, he hadn't yet designated a second animal at all, v'isa tamura, since it is designated as a korban, although it needs to be redeemed, so it itself is not going to be burnt on the mizbeach, since, however, it's not left to die, it's going to be redeemed, and a replacement korban is going to be bought. So its level of sanctity is enough that v'isa tamura, it would produce tamura if somebody tries to replace it, and v'malimba, the punishments of me'ila would also apply, since an animal which needs to be redeemed has proper sanctity to it, and therefore it's fully forbidden to benefit from it. Only in a case where the animal needs to be left to die does its level of sanctity get reduced to such a level that me'ila would no longer apply, and neither would tamura. Mishnah Beis, a nozer is somebody who accepts upon himself certain prohibitions. He can't cut his hair, he can't eat anything which comes from grapes, he can't become impure from a dead body. Be'azmei, at the end of his period of being a nozer, he's obligated to bring three korbanos, a korban oila, a korban shalomim, and a korban asham. What happens if a mafish mois in Zerusai, somebody who was a nozir, designated money for the sake of bringing his korbanos? He can't yet bring them because he's still a nozir, but it's coming up to the end of his period of being a nozir, so he separates money and designates them specifically that that money is going to be used for the sake of bringing his korbanos. Now, one of the korbanos which he's obligated to bring is a korban shalomim. A korban shalomim is in the category of kodshim kalim, the lower level of korbanos, where the person who brings that korban, he himself can eat part of the meat, which means that it's not fully given over to Hashem, and me'ila does not apply until you've reached sort of the end of the procedure, and then me'ila applies to the part of it which is going to be burnt on the mizbeach. But at this point, where you've only separated something for the sake of that korban, me'ila would not apply. The Mishnah tells us that since part of that money, at least, is going to go towards that korban shalomim, and we don't yet know which part of the money he's going to use for the korban shalomim, me'ila would not apply to any of the money. Even though part of that money is going to be used for a korban oila, for example, that me'ila would apply from the beginning. That having been said, le'nenin, it's forbidden to benefit from that money. We're going to understand that that's only forbidden midrabanon, v'lo me'alin, but me'ila would not apply, since part of that money definitely does not have me'ila at all yet. And since it's not yet defined which part of the money doesn't have me'ila, so me'ila wouldn't apply to any of it. Because all of that money could potentially be the money which is going to go towards bringing a korban shalomim. Mace, what happens if the nozir dies, and we have all of this money which has been designated for korban use? Hayustumim. If the money was not specified which part of it he's going to use for which korban, then yipulin and dova. All of the money will go towards bringing voluntary public korbanos oila. Since those exact korbanos themselves cannot be bought because the nozir is already dead, the money goes towards bringing those korbanos. However, if the money had already been specified when he designated the money, he designated part of the money specifically for a korban chatas. Excuse me, I mentioned before that the third korban that the nozir would bring is a korban asham. That's a mistake. The third korban is a korban chatas. Excuse me. Be as it may, the money has now been designated for a specific use, so it has to go towards that use. Demei chatas, the money which was designated for a korban chatas, just like an animal which was designated as a korban chatos, and then the person who had designated it died, so the animal that has to be left to die, so the money, the same applies to the money, yelchul yom ha-melach, has to be thrown into the Dead Sea or destroyed in a similar manner. It's forbidden to benefit from that money, however, if one does so, he would not violate me'ila, just like with regards to an animal which was a korban chatos and now needs to be left to die. Its sanctity gets reduced to a very low level since it's going to be left to die. The mei oila, the money which was designated for the use of a korban oila, yaviu oila, they can bring a voluntary korban oila with that money, because unlike a korban chatos, a korban oila can be bought voluntarily. So it also doesn't matter if the person has died already. And with the mei shalomim, the money which was designated for the korban shalomim, yaviu shalomim, that can also be bought as a korban shalomim voluntarily. Now, a regular korban shalomim needs to be eaten within 2 days. However, the korban shalomim of a nozir only has 1 date for it to be eaten. since the money still has a certain level of the designation and the sanctity of the carbon shlomim, which was supposed to be the shlomim of a nazir, even though at the end of the day it's now going to be bought as a voluntary carbon shlomim, nevertheless, the meat of that animal must be eaten within one day, just like the limitation which is given to the carbon shlomim of a nazir. The eon tonim lechem, however, there is no requirement to bring the loaves of bread, which are generally bought together with the carbon shlomim of a nazir, and not with a regular carbon shlomim, because those loaves of bread are only bought if the animal itself is being bought as a carbon shlomim of a nazir. Since in this case, at the end of the day, it's a voluntary carbon shlomim, the loaves of bread are not brought with it.